The name of our message is titled New Life with Dead Bones. Before I keep you here for the next couple of hours, you caught that, huh? Anyway, before we get started, let us just have a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing of your presence in our lives. Thank you for bringing us here together, Father. I pray that everyone here comes with a heart ready to receive. I pray that you use me as a vessel to deliver to them what they need right here, right now in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you will guide us, direct us, and Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. And we ask this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to get started with a little recap of what we've already been studying over the previous Sundays. And as I said, the previous Sunday's messages from Pastor Brian and Pastor Daryl has given us a great outlook and a great study in Ezekiel. And we learned that Ezekiel was a contemporary of the prophet Daniel and the prophet Jeremiah. Now, he not only was a contemporary of them, his name, Ezekiel, means God strengthens or God will strengthen. Now, in my study of getting ready for this, I did my very best to be ready to impress you by saying Ezekiel's name in Hebrew. But every time I attempted it, it sounded like I was sneezing. So I didn't want you to think I was sick up here, so I just let that go. Now, Ezekiel is the author of the book named after him, Ezekiel, and it is one of the major prophetic books in the Old Testament. Ezekiel also lived during the Reformation of King Josiah. If you remember, and we heard from previous Sundays that King Josiah was, he turned Israel from idolatry back to worshiping God. And as good as that was, it come to be that it was simply an outward change for the people. There was no change in their heart. And once King Josiah died, they went right back to idolatry and their wicked ways. And with that happening, it wasn't long before God's warning and judgment began. And it began in the year 605 BC, when the first exiles went to Babylon. The prophet Daniel was among them. The next time that there was a second deportation and exile of Jews, and it was during Ezekiel's time, and he went along with them to Babylon, and this was during King Jehoiakim's reign in 597 BC. And the final fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple came in 586 BC, and the prophet Jeremiah was there as he predicted, and he witnessed it all happen. And you know, I found it interesting, you're thinking about that, a first, a second, a third, the number three come popping up during that time, and I started thinking about the rule of baseball, three strikes and you're out. However, in this scenario, the nation of Israel is not down for the count. You see, there's some other threes that are involved in this. There were three prophets during this time. There was Prophet Daniel in the Babylonian palace. There was Ezekiel that was along the Kibar River with exiles there. And there was also Jeremiah in Judah and in Jerusalem there along with them. And not only that, when you start looking at the restoration that happened, right? There was a first restoration where after the 70 years of captivity, they went back to the land as God promised. King Cyrus, he turned King Cyrus' heart to release them and go back and establish the nation again. In the 20th century, there was another restoration, the 1948 establishment of the current nation of Israel as a nation. And we heard how Pastor Daryl gave us a lot of interesting statistics where not only are they alive and well in the Middle East, but they are thriving, even in the midst of the war that they have right now. And then there's one other restoration, one that we should be looking for, and that is the restoration during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. That is something that we should be excited about and one that we are looking forward to seeing. And since we're thinking threes, I just thought of another one. Now, can anybody think what else happened in 3 days? I'll give you one. This is a pop quiz. I didn't even give it to the first one. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead in 3 days. So there we go. There's a lot of threes are popping up in the Bible, right? But this also reminds me of Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 10. I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There is none like me. I make known the end from the ancient times, what is to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God has a plan for Israel, and that plan is for Israel to be a light in the world and to bless the world through Israel. God made this promise to Abraham and King David. And although the nation of Israel forsook him and that they disregarded what he was saying, the promise stand and it will stand. See, this warning and judgment happened in Ezekiel's time. If you look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will see even there, it was said by Moses that all of this would happen in Ezekiel's time. So nothing is surprising to God. God does not see judgment for his people as the goal. The goal is that judgment is a path to restoration. And once we see that, we understand that God knows us inside and out, yet he refuses to give up on us. God is a good father, and he will show us the right path. He will put us on the right path, and he will show us that there is blessings going along the right path. But there's also a wrong path, which he is more than happy to show us. And he'll say, you choose. Sadly, sometimes we will say, no, thank you. I have a better idea. I'll go my way. And that normally leads to a desperate or hopeless situation. And this is exactly where Ezekiel and the Jews find themselves at the beginning of our message today. Let's go to point one. The picture of our hopeless condition. Let's read these verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that was very dry. I want you to think about this and picture this in your mind. Here we are in the valley. You're walking up to that valley, and it looks like snow is laying out there in that valley. But the closer you get to your horror, it is full of dry human bones. And you're told to walk through this valley. And as you're walking, you might even be walking across dry human bones, brittle, crushing under your feet. I can imagine in this vision that Ezekiel was feeling a lot of emotions. Here's a man who had done nothing wrong to be there, and yet who had been raised to be ministering in the temple of God, and he had embraced that completely. And yet, he's not even in Jerusalem. He's far away from Jerusalem and the temple on the Kibar River, and his dreams are shattered. Not only that, the Jews that are with him, they're in exile. They've been taken from their homes. They're in a strange and foreign land. And they're thinking to themselves, and I can only imagine, that they have immense grief. And they're possibly asking themselves, how did this happen? How could God cause our defeat and exile to this place? Despite the fact that the prophets Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah had been warning them time and time and time again, turn from your wicked ways. It even makes me think of us sometimes. You know, we have the word of God. We have godly people around us. We have all of these great messages that come from this pulpit. And all of a sudden, we turn and go our own way, and it leads us into a desperate or hopeless situation. And the first thing we're saying is that, how did I get here? Who did it to me? And yet, all we have to go do is look in the mirror, and we'll see who caused it all. So it is an immense grief that they have. They felt that they were dead, they were dried up, they was useless, not only to themselves or to anyone else, but to God. They were thinking that God had broke the covenant and that there was no recovery from what had happened. Now, we may not find ourselves in a literal valley of dry bones, but this is a question for you. Have you ever found yourself in a hopeless situation? Have you ever had a time in your life that you maybe thought that your faith felt dry, or that you had a dream that was totally and completely shattered? Seems like it'll never happen for you. A family that is completely dysfunctional. Sickness with slow recovery or no cure in sight. Maybe you have experienced some type of addiction or a fractured relationship. Financial difficulties that seem to pile up and seem to have no end. When you are gripped in hopelessness like that, you start to think that perhaps there's no way out and that death may even be an option instead of just staying in that grip of despair. But I have to tell you, there's no hopelessness like a dead corpse. A dead person has no hope at all. And as long as we have life that we can breathe, God has a way of helping us to conquer these places of hopelessness and turn our lives around. I told the first service that, and I'm going to share it with you, I have when I was studying this, I had something that I consider dry bones in my life. And it's sitting right back there. Yes. I can still consider myself learning. I'm a learner in trying to play that instrument, the bass guitar. Now, my mentor and instructor is sitting over here. He would tell you that I'm doing okay, but there is a technique that I'm having terrible time with, and it's called the slap bass, right? And people, I work on this time and time again, and it seems like these hands do not want to obey my mind when I'm trying to learn this thing. So when people ask me about the slap bass, I say, yeah, I can slap, but I ain't talking about a bass. I want you to shut up. I don't want to hear about slap bass. But anyway, when I was studying this, I thought, hell, okay, that's my dry bones right there. But seriously, if you are in a terrible and desperate situation and you get to a place where you think death is more preferable, well, you know, that could lead you to suicide. But as I said, that's no place for you to be. As long as you have breath, you have Jesus. As long as Jesus is with you, he can change things for you. And this reminds me of Psalm 61. I love this psalm, and you will find these words in there. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I will trust in the shelter of your wings. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and can give you abundant life. Let's move on to the next few verses here. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. In those verses, you can see that God asked Ezekiel a question, and of course, God knows the answer. And Ezekiel gave the answer that we should give to God even if he asks us a question. O sovereign Lord, you alone know. And you can see that God gives Ezekiel instructions to speak a proclamation over these dead, dry bones that he just walked through. And it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But here's the deal with that. The word of the Lord is living and active. And it says so in Hebrew 4th chapter 12th verse. It also says in 1 Peter 1st verse 23rd chapter that it imparts life. And I want you to hear these words. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That is from the Gospel of John, and that's Jesus himself speaking, 6th chapter 63rd verse. God's word of command to Ezekiel in the verse 4 is also followed by a word of promise in verses 5 and 6. Ezekiel believed those promises and obeyed the command, and the bones came together. The skeletons were covered, tendons began to grow, skin and flesh grew over them, and all of a sudden, instead of dry bones in the valley, we have what looks to be a sleeping army. The only thing that's left to do is one thing, and that is for them to come to life. You see, God could have put Ezekiel out there in the middle of that valley, and he could have said, Ezekiel, stand in the middle of those bones. And he would have done so, and God would have said, okay, let me get to work. And he speaks the word himself. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He told Ezekiel to do it. Why would he do that? Because he wanted Ezekiel to have hope. He wanted to show Ezekiel that his word is life. And he wanted to show Ezekiel that he needed to stand on faith and obey his command. And Ezekiel did just that. The same thing applies to us. Think about it. We have the word of God right here before us, all the time. It is right here. We can read it whenever we want. And every test that we take is an open book test. This book. Right. You open this book, you'll find your answer. The words of life is in that book. And while you're doing those things, you'll say, well, should I do this or should I not do that? The thing about it is that there's the life right there. You have to walk out in faith. You have to act on his word, and you need to proclaim it or pray it over your life. I remember my wife, Margaret. She owned a hair salon. And as business goes, you know, you have an ebb and flow to that. And when things wasn't looking very well, clients wasn't coming as they should, my wife would grab her Bible. She would go in the middle of that salon, and she would raise that Bible, and she would remind God. She said, you told me that you would supply all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Proclaiming life over that situation. And sure enough, time and time again, God remembered, and he said, things are going to change. Life happens, and you have to do that. You think about it. For your children, you should be praying, proclaiming over them that they have the mind of Christ, that they are not conformed to this world, but they are transformed into the image of Christ. Wives, you should be praying over your husband. You should be praying that I declare that there are ministering angels that are watching over my husband, protecting him, and fighting for him. Husbands, you should be praying for your wives. You should be saying that my wife seeks God first in his kingdom and his righteousness. She is a prayer warrior. She is a woman of prayer, and she is praying fervently and effectively for the protection of our families. When you're sick, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with you asking other people to pray for you. But at the same time, we get connection cards all the time, and we are more than willing to do that. It's a biblical way of doing things. But I have to tell you, you need to proclaim life over yourself when you're sick. If you're sick, you should remind God that he was the one that said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he promised you abundant life, not just life, but abundant life. You know, the one thing that has bothered me ever since I really got into the word was that when a desperate or hopeless situation come up, these words would be spoken. And I have even spoken them myself. But I have done my best to cut them out of my vocabulary. A desperate situation comes, it becomes hopeless, and you'll hear people say, well, all we got to do is pray. All we can do is pray. Really? All we can do is pray? Let me tell you something. To proclaim the word of Christ over your life should be the default response, not in any situation, but especially if you have a desperate situation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us move on to the second point, the proclamation of God's word. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise. All right, church is starting to get good now. A rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. The prophet speaks, the atmosphere changes. The bones rattle. They start to move together and connect. Flesh starts to cover them. Tendons are grown. Skin is covering them. And suddenly, an army of people are in that valley where previously were filled with dry bones. Remember, that sound of the bones rattling is the promise of God manifesting in that valley of dry bones. Then Ezekiel called to the four winds, and the breath came to them. The wind is an emblem of the Spirit of God that has come and took power over death. Israel indeed would return from exile and become a nation. God hadn't forgotten his people, but this valley of dry bones is not just about Israel. You see, he who has the power to raise a dead nation of Israel to life also has the resurrection power over death. What the world declares dead, God can bring back to life. Broken relationships, unbearable debt, chronic or incurable health problems, hard-headed prodigals. It doesn't matter what your dry bones are. The thing is this, God is in the restoration business. It doesn't matter at all what you got to do. These verses also point to the greatest event in the history of our time, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That wind that breathed life into those bodies in the valley is the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And that very same Spirit belongs to every believer in Christ. You see, when death had a grip on humanity, God came to live among us, paid a debt that we couldn't pay. He died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. In Revelations, the first chapter, 18 verse, it says, I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Our Lord and Savior holds those keys. Jesus can bring life into any situation. Let's move on to point three. The power of God to raise the dead. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I tell you, that's a hallelujah and an amen verse right there. No created power can restore human bones to life. Let me say that again. No created power can return human bones to life. God alone could cause them to live, for skin and flesh to cover them. And then the wind was then told to blow upon these bodies, and they were restored to life. The vision was to encourage a desponding Jewish nation and to predict their restoration from captivity and their recovery from captivity. It is also a clear intimation of the resurrection of the dead, and it represents the power and the grace of God In Ephesians 2, first verse, it tells us that we are dead in our sins when we live as we please and disregard the call of God on our lives. But also in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 11th verse, when we accept him and his lordship over us, it tells us that we are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you. And I'm talking about that's power. Power to love, power to change, power to speak life over a situation that you seem hopeless and turn it around. The power for you to serve selflessly. The power for you to give and to give your talents and give your finances to help change and turn a dark and perverse world, to be a light in it. Let me tell you something. There is no situation too hopeless. There is no life too ruined. There is no sinner that is too simple that Jesus cannot touch and turn around. Jesus can take your dry bones and turn them to victory. So let us look to him who will open our graves, deliver us from sin, and put his Spirit in us, and will keep us by his power through faith to salvation. Amen, amen, and amen.